Chef is famous in the world of software automation and configuration management, but one arena in which they haven't dipped their toes is compliance. But that's all changing. They recently released a compliance survey, and they are now building software that can help automate and configure compliance tasks. We got Chef product manager Julian Dunn on the phone and asked, why is it that there's interest in compliance aspects all of a sudden, and what is the results of that Chef 2017 compliance survey telling us?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the elements, Cameron, you know, is that a lot of folks know Chef previously just for, you know, configuration management, infrastructure automation, and, you know, we've definitely expanded our portfolio a lot over the last few years, you know, targeting both sort of security and compliance use cases, have a product in market for that, as well as application developers, you know, modern kind of packaging, container systems, that sort of thing, right, application deployment. So really, you know, I think a little bit of us trying to get over that, the hurdle is, hey, we're not just, you know, we don't just want to be pigeonholed in this, hey, it's just for sysadmins, right? So one element of us doing some of this work was to get right to the meat of it, right, which was, you know, the survey that we did last year had about 640 respondents. This actually came about from, as you kind of touched on, a broader theme related to automation. We did a survey earlier in the year, which was just, hey, what are your roles? What's your adoption of automation? You know, how is that going? Are there any blockers and that kind of thing? So from that survey, we found one of the major blockers is, well, security and compliance requirements that kind of come in at the last minute, right, from security teams that inspect applications before they go to production, and then that just really, you know, slows everything down. And of course, you know, I mean, I think a more germane problem is, like, clearly it's not working. I mean, if you just look at the scope and of vulnerabilities out there today, and vulnerabilities that have, or breaches that are based on vulnerabilities that have already been discovered and been out there for years, right? Whatever we're doing isn't working, and I think it's this sort of post-delivery process inspection of work products, right? So we followed up with a survey later in the year, and we had about 640 respondents or so, a little bit more than that, just really asking them, diving into questions around security and compliance requirements, how they kind of see that, how it is that they do things like, hey, when you have a vulnerability, how quickly can you remediate these things, right? How quickly can you, you know, how are you doing that sort of thing? Are you doing that remediation or assessment manually? Are you using any kind of automation? Are you subject to regulatory compliance? And is that varying based on the, you know, factors like the size of your fleet or the types of applications you have and that sort of thing? And so some of the findings, I mean, I would just characterize them as, you know, I wasn't surprised, but I guess I've been around for a long time to kind of anticipate what the findings would have been. So, you know, examples of things like a lot of folks are still doing compliance manually. About 75%, so about three quarters of these folks. And then in terms of how they actually remediate those problems, it's still a completely manual operation. About half of those folks still go through and remediate things manually, right? Another example is, you know, one interesting thing we found was some folks, just drilling into regulatory compliance, it seemed like some folks with smaller fleets felt like they believed that they weren't as subject to regulation as folks running larger fleets, which is kind of strange to me. I mean, I would think that regulators really don't care if you have one server that you're processing credit card information with or 100, you're still subject to PCI, you know? So that's another interesting finding that we had. So anyway, that was the general scope of the survey and some of the findings that we had in there.
So Chef has come out with Inspect. How does Inspect work, and how does it differentiate itself from other configuration auditing automated tools in the market?
Yeah, I mean, our tool, so Inspect is an open source project that we run, and that's definitely much more, it's not so much around like, hey, what are your jars vulnerable or that kind of stuff, or hey, are your code paths vulnerable, are you doing things in your code that aren't kosher, right? It's definitely more at the end of, hey, what's the environment compliance? What's the environmental compliance look like, right? Is your cloud environment going to be compliant? Is your server set up correctly? Do you have the right, you know, firewall settings and that kind of thing on that system, on that environment? So our point of view on that is really, hey, if you build that right into the development process, And you have the same products being used by all actors involved in security, both your infrastructure people, your security people, and your developers, and you use that throughout the process, and it's a lot easier to just get to production. And by the way, our product doesn't generate a bunch of random PDF reports. It's like actually actionable things with severities and criticalities that you can then customize and things like that.
So what are some of the common compliance issues that the tools will catch? And is there anything weird that goes on in cloud-based environments as opposed to traditional data centers?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, to be honest, it's like just a lot of like basic hygiene, like basic gaping holes and things like that that people, you know, and I mean, some of these rules are a little bit outdated for a more cloud environment. So, for example, you know, situations like, oh, you should put certain things in different file systems because, you know, in case somebody fills up the disk or whatever, like that stuff is a little less relevant. But even just things like, hey, are you expiring your password policies? Do you have your firewall turned on? Do you have sort of a mandatory access control system on the machine? You know, just sort of these kind of easy to just ignore, but best practices for when you're deploying into that environment. Like those are the types of things that you know the sort of the system catches. Right. The other thing is that it's a system that allows for, so basically InSpec is a language, right? It's a domain specific language that allows for customers to describe their own compliance rules. So you have a lot of course out of the box things like the ones I described, but those are pretty pro forma. But because it's effectively a programming language, it allows for customers to express the rules that they have around, and I agree with you, security and compliance are two different things, right? But they're using it more for, you can almost think of it as like environmental testing or environmental verification. And security is one element of that. But like making sure the environment is correct before things go to production, and then a lot of those things that they find that to answer your question, right, are just sort of basic, you know, basic things that developers often are just like, hey, you know, wasn't really my job, so I'm not an expert in it, but they're happy to kind of work with something that's actionable and that they can like roll into their process.
I recently spoke with an industry expert who said that in terms of security and compliance, it almost seems that when people went from a traditional data center to the cloud and microservices and containers, it was like they'd forgotten many of the basics, and they're seeing a lot of the basic, simple flaws that would always be addressed in older environments reappearing these days.
Well, I guess I would have two answers to that. I would say that one answer is, you know, you have some folks that kind of expect for the cloud provider or somebody else to do the job for them. And I think that that's true when you think about things like microservice, when you think about particular things like serverless, right, where you have, it's, unless you really are an expert and you kind of dig into it, you're not totally sure the scope of your responsibility around kind of this stuff, right? So when a cloud provider provides you things like this API gateway, and then they tell you that it has a WAF, web application firewall in front of it and does all this stuff, right, you immediately think, oh, somebody else is accountable for that, right? And so maybe you deprioritize that or you forget about it or whatever. So I think that is one element of it. And the second element that I would have about it, second answer that I would have is that, look, I think, like, my view is the education aspect of developers is not enough. I mean, I think we've been doing that for 15 or 20 years. And I'm not saying that, you know, developers are stupid or whatever. Absolutely not, right? But it's like that's just – the education is just one element of it. But we can't sort of just rely on, hey, developer, just go and learn about the OWASP stuff. And then it's like we're just going to assume that that's enough, right? I think we have to provide developers with tools that they understand that they can incorporate into their process to help them. Right, and if we don't do that, then simply just relying on education, relying on developers themselves to kind of catch those things and just proactively be like, I'm going to program in a secure manner. I mean, what developer is going to stand up and say, I'm not going to program in a secure manner? I mean, everybody thinks that they are, right? Until they have some assistance or something that some tools or products or things that help them better integrate it into the development process in order to make that true.
So everybody's talking about DevOps and DevOps processes these days. Would you consider this to be a DevOps tool? And for that matter, how does this fit into the world of DevOps and DevSecOps and DevOps compliance?
It is. And actually, I would say that we would say it's, there's this new, I mean, everybody wants to say Dev something ops, right? But there's, you know, folks have invented this term DevSecOps, which I think is actually true for something like this. Because if you look at sort of traditional security compliance tools, They're generally operated only by security engineers. They're generally only operated in a production environment. The same problem that you highlighted with respect to, like, hey, PDFs getting thrown over the wall for application-level vulnerabilities, I think it's true in the security world, PDFs getting thrown over the wall about non-compliant environments. So this is a tool that can be used, dev, QA, you know, operations. You can run it in production. It's read-only, right? It's basically, you know, you can run it with low privilege. If it doesn't have privilege to run the tests that it needs to, it's simply going to skip them and say that it's skipped. Maybe you want to do that manually or whatever, right? But it's lightweight enough, and it's a language. The language is written in such a way that you don't have to have a programming background in order to use it, right? So it appeals to all those folks that, like, hey, I don't know regular expressions necessarily, but I just want to test this one thing, this config file. No problem, right? The language has things built in, which is, like, literally, go to this file, does this key have a value that matches this expression, right, or this kind of pattern, right, really easy patterns, right? Instead of being like, hey, go and write a shell script that has fancy regex in order to do this work, right, which is kind of the way in which a lot of these traditional tools have been oriented. So that's sort of why we think that from just, again, the, you know, DevOps really is about developing empathy between the two groups, and we're bringing security into that, so developing empathy between the three groups and having the tool support that.
So what do you anticipate to be the big DevOps trends in the industry and compliance trends in the industry for the rest of the year?
I think it's definitely bringing more actors into that equation, right? I think, you know, bringing in, like, really, what is DevOps really more than just, you know, bringing IT into a world where IT is not seen as kind of a cost center and is actually part of the business and isn't seen as kind of a contractor control type of system. And really that, you know, when you think about DevOps evolving, I think if it's going to continue to be successful, what we're going to see is it's really going to be truly integrated into the business, and you'll start to see more folks participating in a technology process, right, from the business, right? So security is one element that we're talking about today, but if you think about, like, finance or other areas of the business, marketing, if you will, right? Because, like, everybody else in the quote-unquote rest of the business has a lot of technological skills now, too, right? Everybody has an iPad at home, and everybody is familiar with, like, web apps and things like that, and it's getting easier and easier to program and start writing software. I mean, that's sort of where you see these stories about, like, you know, the CEO wrote a prototype in serverless or whatever. And, you know, I think rather than kind of fighting that, it's like, well, why not? Why? I mean, if the CEO is a good idea and it's a good thing to go and show customers as an idea, right, why wouldn't we want to bring more people into the fold, right? So that's how I kind of see DevOps evolving, is bringing more people into that tent.
So why is it so important to put security and compliance and all of these testings into the application development lifecycle early, as opposed to making it something that the operations team would do after an application was completed and ready for deployment?
Well, I think primarily if you don't, what it leads to is, well, clearly what we're doing in the world isn't working, because it leads to breaches. And why does it lead to breaches? Because security is only being inspected at the very end of the process by people that don't know anything about the application. And then throw large buckets of findings over the wall, and then either one of two things happens, right? Either there's sluggish processes, because developers and some operations people have to go and rework that thing and spend a lot of time, or more likely in businesses is they're like, well, we have to get this feature to market or we're going to lose market share, we're going to miss our Q4 or whatever it is. So we're just going to ignore those findings. We're going to be like, the risk is fine. We have compensating controls or whatever, right? So the business then orders the development team to just, you know, drive that thing through to production and kind of ignore security findings, or kind of hand wave and say, oh, we have some other measures, right? And then so it just leads to, it leads to insecure things being deployed into production, or things that are just done really, really slowly.